Chapter 15, Opportunity Testing and Validation. It's easy to make the mistake of thinking that just because you have a great idea or a great design you think will work out, that you've already created a success. Remember, entrepreneurs know that only 1 in 5 things will work out the way that they anticipate, and they need to get real-world feedback in order to orient and navigate to the next step. In this section, we're going to discuss ways to test and validate your idea or product before you waste too much time on something that isn't going to work out in the long run. Because we can mentally model and imagine how things work in the real world, we are in a continual process of trying to anticipate what's going to happen. And because business and investing in particular are about money, they typically really matter. So we're always trying to find new ways to anticipate and what's going to happen in order to best position ourselves to do things that create a lot of value and produce a lot of success. But as we think about what's going to happen and learn new skills and ideas, and then go to work to make products, marketing pieces, and businesses that work, we have to remember that the physical material world doesn't work exactly the same way that our minds work. We have to remember that part of the job of the entrepreneur is to remember that thinking isn't perfect and that ideas have to be tested out in order to see whether or not they will work. Since ideas have to be tested, we want to find a method that works efficiently and that doesn't waste time and money testing. And we must also go further and adopt an experimental mindset. We have to start looking at ourselves partially as entrepreneurs and partially as research scientists who are doing experiments in their labs to see if their theories are correct. Physical variation. W. Edwards Deming was a statistician and management consultant that applied statistical models to business and manufacturing. Through his books, I learned an important mindset and approach to testing and to business in general. Deming and his followers recommended charting processes on a run chart. A run chart is when you measure something over time and put a dot on a graph to show the measurements over time. It looks like this. Refer to your ebook or your real book to see it. The line that goes up and down is the plot of measurements, and the line that is straight is the median or the average. I believe that the simple run chart is one of the most innovative inventions that humans have ever produced, as it shows you a huge amount of information all at once at a glance. If you just look at a column of numbers, it's very hard to see whether the trend is up, down, or sideways. But one glance at a run chart and you can see what's happening immediately. In the chart above, the process that you're looking at is what Deming might call a stable process. At first glance, you might say, that doesn't look very stable to me, but look again. If you look at the moving average of the entire process, it's flat. So what's going on? Let's say that this is a chart that you keep daily of the time it takes you to commute to work. Let's say that the average time it takes you each day is 15 minutes. But some days it takes longer than others, and some days go faster. Sometimes there's a delay because of a train or because it's raining outside. And sometimes things go quickly because there are no delays. If you chart the time it takes you each day, you'll see a pattern like the one on this chart. It will go up one day and down the next, or up a couple of days, then down a day, then up a day, then down 2 days, etc. Deming called this phenomena physical variation. It's the idea that the physical world introduces variation into processes that can't be anticipated, and in many cases can't even be known. Some processes are stable, meaning that if you chart them over time, you will see that they have an average that is stable and predictable. Some processes are not stable, and they can't be predicted with confidence. If you're building a business or a portfolio of investments, it's important to chart the processes in your business so you can see how they are performing visually. This gives you the feedback you need in order to see whether or not something is working the way you need it to. Charting is particularly important when testing out advertising and marketing campaigns to see how they perform over time. An ad might work well in the beginning, but then stop working as well over time. And if you're not watching the performance on a visual chart, you won't be able to see this. Remember physical variation. Results go up one day and down another within a range in all processes. This creates a distraction for a lot of people because they see that results went down since yesterday, and then they go and spend hours looking for the reason why the numbers are down. Once they think they've figured it out, they make a change, hoping that the numbers go back up tomorrow. If the numbers go up tomorrow, then they think they were right about the change they made, even though the change had nothing to do with it. When you make changes to a system that is stable because you think that the system is unstable, this is what Deming called tampering with the system. Let's say you're running a new advertisement and you're watching the daily performance. After a few days, you notice that the results go down one day. You think that there must be something wrong, so you change the headline of the ad. Results go back up the next day, so you assume that the headline is what fixed things. Then the next day, results go back down again, so you change the picture in the ad, and results go back up. What's the problem with an approach like this? It's that each of the down days was likely not because something was wrong, it was because of physical variation of some kind. And when you then go and make changes to your ad, you're now tampering with the system and potentially making things worse in the long run. When you make changes to a system that's actually stable, and then the system appears to respond to those changes, but what you are observing is actually normal physical variation, it will confuse and disorient you. Ultimately, it will hurt your confidence and self-esteem. Testing. Jay Abraham has one of the best mantras that I've ever heard in business. Everything is a test. The mindset is to remember that when you start a new process or make a change to an existing process, you are running a test, and you have to be watching and expecting to see changes as a result. The change that you make might give you one result in the short term, but a completely different result in the long term. When you remember that everything is a test, it creates an atmosphere where you become less attached to outcomes and more motivated to test things earlier rather than later. In a way, this is a very scientific mindset, and it encourages you to do more than just think of good ideas. It leads you to also ask yourself how the idea could be tested out, and either proven or disproven with minimal wasted time, effort, and energy. Many people who are building businesses make the mistake of falling in love with their ideas. They become convinced that their idea is going to work, so they don't actually test out their assumptions in the real world, which ultimately leads to big problems later. David Ogilvy tells the story at the beginning of his book, Ogilvy on Advertising, of how the Ford car company ran an advertisement test where they inserted a new advertisement into a magazine. In this test, they ran the ad in half of the magazines, and they ran no ads in the other half. This is called a split test, or an A-B test in business. When they went back later and measured their results, they had a surprise. The people who had seen their ads bought fewer cars than people who had not seen their ads. In effect, their ads had unsold people on buying their cars. As I was building my company, we hired someone on our marketing team who was leaving a company that had raised a large amount of money from venture capitalists. The company had designed and built their website several years earlier, and they felt that it was outdated and ugly. They spent a year of time and a lot of money designing a new website that was more modern and attractive. Their estimate was that a new website design would at least double their sales. Guess what happened when they launched their all-new site? Sales went down. Not awesome. Tim Ferriss told me in an interview that he tested book titles before selecting the 4-Hour Workweek. He ran pay-per-click ads to see which title idea got the most clicks, then chose the winner based on which one people clicked on most. This is a great example of testing before falling in love with an idea. Travis Kalanick, the co-founder of Uber, tells the story of making cold calls to see if people would be interested in being part of the Uber service. He looked up limousine companies in San Francisco online and started calling them on the telephone to tell them about his idea. Out of 10 people that he called, 3 of them were interested and said, "Let's meet." He took this as a sign that they had a good idea on their hands. In our companies, we are constantly split testing ads, marketing funnels, subject lines, prices, copy, and other elements. You can do a test by sending multiple subject lines to small segments of your list, then sending the winner to the entire list once you find it. Seemingly small things like this can give you 5% to 25% better open rates, and sometimes more if you do them. I've often done price tests for products and found that higher prices actually work better. What a fun discovery this is when you make it. The question to ask is, how can I test this idea quickly? Call up potential customers and tell them about your idea. See if some of them are willing to pay you up front for it. Send out a survey to your audience or list and ask their opinion about your product idea and what they'd be willing to pay for it. Do a live webinar and teach some of your best ideas. Then ask everyone at the end if they want to join you for an advanced version of the class that's paid. Run 2 versions of an ad to see which one works better. When you approach things this way, you are integrating feedback from real people in the real world into your design and development process. Silicon Valley has been incorporating these mindsets over the last several years and calling them things like lean startup methodology and customer development. Check out the work of Steve Blank and Eric Ries for more depth. Whatever you do, remember that everything is a test so that you don't fall in love with an idea or opportunity that hasn't been tested out in the real world. By asking yourself how you can test each of your ideas, you also program yourself to think more steps upstream and you develop the ability to model processes much better. Trustable data. As you begin testing and charting your results visually, you realize that there is another puzzle that needs to be solved. How do you know when you have enough data or feedback in order to make a call about whether or not something is working for you? If you split test two advertisements to see which one works better, how many people need to click or respond to each in order to know which one is working better? Bill Schirkenbach, a protege of W. Edwards Deming, said something interesting once. He said that the most dangerous number of data points to gather is two. Two data points will almost always imply a trend in one direction or the other. But because you have so little data, there's also about a 50% chance that the direction that the two points imply is wrong. If you measure how long it takes you to commute to work one day and it's 15 minutes, then you measure it tomorrow and it's 22 minutes, then you chart these on a run chart, it will look like a trend going up very fast. But it's not. It's just that today there was more traffic than usual. If you take two data points, plot the trend line, then start believing in it, you can get into trouble very fast. Schirkenbach recommended that you typically need at least 30 data points taken in regular intervals on a chart before you can start seeing what's really happening. I recommend that you start by charting the following numbers every day on a simple spreadsheet. You can use Excel or Google Sheets for this. 1. Visitors to your website. 2. Opt-ins or follows. 3. Sales. Every day, gather the numbers yourself and put them in your spreadsheet. Then click the charting button to make a chart over time, so you can see the run chart. Finally, add a moving average so you can get a sense of which direction things are going on average. If you do this for 90 days in your business, you will have a completely different sense of what's happening at a more fundamental level inside your company. You'll learn on an emotional level not to let it bother you if traffic or sales are down a little bit one day, and not to get too excited if they go up a little bit one day. You'll also be able to spot big shifts that indicate important underlying changes as well. If opt-ins drop to zero one day after being in the hundreds every day, then something is probably wrong. Your opt-in form might have stopped working, or maybe someone made a change to your design that broke the rest of the site. Or you might see traffic go way up one day and wonder why, then go do research and see that your site was featured in a news story. This can lead to discovering strategies for getting customers and traffic that you may not have thought of before. In order to trust your data and your reporting, you have to build it yourself and do it over time. Different sites will give you different metrics, even for the same traffic. You might see Facebook report that 100 people clicked on your ad, but on your website, you only have 87 visitors. What happened? By tracking your numbers daily, you'll go and figure out what's happening, and you'll learn how to estimate based on initial results and on changes in trends over time, and the entire system will make a lot more sense to you as you do this. As you track, measure, and report your numbers, you can also start using online tools to make sure that your data is statistically significant. This is the term that is used to describe a situation where you have enough data over time to actually be confident that what it is telling you is true. For now, go and look up a statistical significance calculator and play around with it a bit. Try a few of them. You'll see that there are several free versions online. They're easy to use, and they tell you a deeper story about your data. The more you use tools like these, the more you start to understand how to read group behavior by looking at it through measuring and reporting lenses like these. And by looking at your data every day and charting it visually as well, this process will give you more and more insight and confidence. Feedback. On a higher level, testing is about getting feedback. Feedback can be thought of as the result or as what happens when you do something. If you're playing basketball and you shoot the ball, you can watch as the ball either goes into the basket or doesn't go into the basket. Either way, you have received feedback about your shot. If you take a test and you score a perfect 100%, you have received feedback about your performance. If you write an advertisement or make a video marketing piece and you run a test to see how it performs, you will receive feedback about whether or not customers respond to it in the form of traffic and sales. To think about feedback, think about the distinction between action and reaction. Feedback is the reaction. It's not the part that you enact, it's what happens as a result. If an action is a cause, then the feedback that you get is the effect. A simple example of feedback is looking in front of you as you walk. You put one foot in front of the other and walk along a path. By looking at where you are going and seeing the movement of the environment all around, you can make adjustments to keep moving in the right direction and stay on your path. If you accidentally walk the wrong direction, you can see that you're not going the right way and you can change course to correct. Imagine how challenging it would be to go for a walk if you didn't have sight. You would have to rely on other feedback mechanisms to help you navigate through the world. When you see someone holding a cane with a red tip in front of them and moving it back and forth as they walk forward slowly, what you are typically looking at is someone who doesn't have vision, who is feeling their way through reality by using the cane to get feedback about what is in front of them. Because we have these miraculous sensory systems of vision, hearing, smell, taste, and touch, not to mention many other more subtle perceptual systems and combinations of systems, we move through physical reality and receive feedback on all of these channels simultaneously. This feedback allows us to make subtle changes in real time, so we stay on track doing things like putting food into our mouths without missing, giving hugs to people we love, and reading lines of text smoothly and quickly. But most feedback doesn't come real time in life. One of the challenges with cause and effect, or action and reaction, or doing something and getting feedback, is that many results or outcomes are separated in space and time from causes or actions. This is particularly true in domains like relationships, business, and investing. Unlike putting a bite of food in our mouths, which is happening real time, feedback in most domains typically comes from a very different place or in a very different way than we expect. People who take up exercise programs are often surprised to see that instead of losing weight, they actually start gaining weight. The body stores more calories as dense muscle, but it doesn't shed fat because it assumes that things are getting harder and that it's going to need to not only build muscle, but also keep storing all the fat as well in case it needs it. After working out for a month, it's not exactly encouraging feedback to step on a scale and see that you gained weight. People who start exercising are also surprised to notice that other unexpected things start happening. They start sleeping better. They have more energy. They start feeling more optimistic and inspired over time. Again, they receive feedback that is unexpected and in ways that they could not have anticipated. Not only is feedback separated from actions or causes in space and time, but it is typically also separated in domain. Physical exercise now triggers better sleep tonight and positive mood a week from now. If you weren't watching for these and you didn't know that it's typical to start sleeping better and feeling happier when you exercise, you very well might never even put the two together. This goes much further than almost anyone realizes. Maybe you have worked hard for your entire life to become successful so that you can please your disapproving parents, only to find that when you finally make it, they still aren't satisfied. You realize in a moment that it wasn't about whether or not you achieved success, and that it was actually about your parents feeling like they needed to always be acting as parents by telling you what to do. You were expecting to get feedback of praise and pride, but instead you received feedback of more disapproval. By considering what's happening, you can start to see through time spans and layers of feedback that have come down through generations of family hardship or millennia of religious or cultural shame. What I am attempting to point out here is that reality gives us feedback each time we communicate, act, or don't act within essentially every situation that we find ourselves in. From our physical actions and inactions, to the things we communicate and don't communicate in relationships, to what we do in our businesses and investments, everything provides some level of feedback. The challenge is knowing when and where to look and how to interpret what we see. If we can get the feedback, it often gives us a key insight that allows us to learn better, understand better, adjust better, think better, communicate better, and take advantage of new levels of opportunity better. If we don't get the feedback, we are essentially flying blind. We are missing the insight or the lesson from each of our actions. Even worse, we can become superstitious in the sense that we assume that things that are happening around us that are actually the results of things we did days, weeks, months, or years ago are the results of things that are not correct. If you exercise for a month and then notice that you've actually gained weight, instead of finding the true cause, the body is building heavier muscle and getting healthier, you might make up a reason, like exercise doesn't work, and then go off in the wrong directions completely. Dr. David Kolb of Harvard wrote a fascinating book titled Experiential Learning. Part of the idea is that real, true, deep learning is a result of having experiences, of getting feedback, and integrating that feedback into your process. When you actually see, feel, and experience how something works, you learn in a completely different way from reading about it or having it explained to you. The experiential learning that you receive by actually riding a bike is in a different dimension from the process of reading about riding a bike or watching someone ride a bike. It can help you to read about it and to watch others, but there's nothing like learning by doing. This is why work-study programs and internships are such important aspects of the education experience in college and university. You get to see how things actually work in the real world versus how they work in a classroom. Opportunity is tricky because there's so much of it, and because most opportunities don't work out and become big hits in your business and your life, it's easy to misidentify causes and effects and to miss important feedback about what works and what doesn't. When you move to test out an opportunity or act on it, you want to waste as little energy as possible in the testing and validation phase. But you also want to get high-quality feedback so that you notice whether or not your test or experiment is working. You also need to have several different models for evaluating the feedback that you're getting so that you don't misinterpret the feedback and make a decision that sends you in the wrong direction. Observe customers using your product. One of the companies I have invested in is called Splash. They are an event platform where you can announce, organize, and manage your live event easily. One day they called me to ask me to come to their office to see the new version of their system. When I walked in, they gathered a team of about 15 people around me, handed me a wireless keyboard, and said, "Plan an event using this new system." I had never seen their new interface, and I didn't know where to start. I felt like they were really putting me on the spot because there were a bunch of people watching me flounder around. But I went with it. As I went through the process, the team had a conversation around me, discussing some of their previous assumptions, sometimes asking me questions, and sometimes complaining to each other. I had a hard time figuring out how things worked. It was an emotionally challenging experience to be making mistakes and not having things work, knowing that the team had worked hard to build this new system. When we were finished, the team had seen how many challenges there were and how non-intuitive many of the elements were. We got together and said, "We have to go back to the drawing board," and we made a big list of things to tweak and change. As they started rolling out this new version, they had many challenges come up. It was a hard time for the company because they were trying a lot of new things with this design and attempting to solve a lot of different challenges in innovative ways. But a few months later, Splash released an updated version of this new design that fixed most of the issues of that initial version. It was now the best thing on the market, and their company has exploded in size since they launched it. They took the initiative to get some of the best feedback that you can possibly get, watching a real person use your product or service. It's hard, but it's worth it. Watch your customers whenever you can as they interact with your product, service, company, team members, websites, everything. There is so much valuable information and feedback just waiting for you. Key types of feedback. As you get more feedback, you will have more intelligence about what is happening, not only in your business, but also the minds and hearts of your customers and your marketplace in general. Here are the key domains to tune into in order to keep your finger on the pulse of the feedback. Prospects. Talk to individual prospective customers yourself and learn more about them. Ask them about their fears, their desires, their wants, and their frustrations. Ask them about what they would like in a product or service and what annoys them about what's currently available. Watch how prospects respond to your advertisements and offers to see what is most interesting to them and keep refining. Customers, it's also very important to talk live to people who have actually purchased your products and services, the ones who have given you money. These people are a subset of all potential or prospective customers, and they will be different in important ways. Notice these differences so you can learn about who is more likely to buy from you, and so you can learn about how they see the world and how they make buying decisions. Surveys. By doing surveys, you get a more general look at your prospects or your customers. Surveys are useful, but I want to warn you that most people want to skip talking to real people and instead just send out a survey. Do both. Use surveys to ask large groups about their commonalities, age, gender, interests, wants, fears, etc. You can ask your group everything from what they want to buy in a product to how much they are willing to pay for it. And you can learn a lot by doing it. Sales. If you can't sell someone your product one-to-one, it's going to be very difficult to create marketing copy or videos that will do the job. Sales is one of the most important forms of feedback you can get, especially early on in a business. Make sure you have the sales conversations yourself and ask deep questions about what your customers are experiencing and about what they want and don't want. Marketing tests. Remember that everything is a test when you run a marketing campaign, and do your best to test out any marketing idea you have as quickly as possible and as cheaply as possible. Spend $50 or $100 on a test and get some results in the form of clicks, followers, subscribers, or buyers. This will teach you so much if you continue to run small tests, then refine them as you find winning combinations. I think of success as being like a staircase, with the stairs in front of you being in the dark. You can't know exactly where the staircase leads, but you can be sure that there's a pathway upwards somewhere. When you step up to the next step, it lights up one more step in front of you, so you can look at it and get your bearings. Then you must do the work to climb up to that next step so you can have the next one light up. Getting lots of feedback and being open to the lessons that the feedback has for you is how you navigate from one step to the next. It's how you flip on the light at the next stage so you can see where you're going. And even though you can't see the entire path forward, what you can see is what to do next. Feedback is your key system for this type of navigation. Reminder, get a summary of this entire book plus written implementation exercises for every chapter, additional bonus sections, and access to a free class to help you discover your best opportunities by visiting opportunitybonus.com. Opportunity testing and validation. Physical variation creates the illusion that processes and markets are getting better and worse on a daily or hourly basis. To smooth out this process, use run charts and moving averages to track all important metrics in your business and life. Everything is a test. Jay Abraham. Consider everything you do in business to be an experiment in order to learn, grow, and adapt. Test out your opportunity with a fast, low-risk test. Don't assume your idea will work. Test all aspects of your marketing, pricing, offers, funnels, and conversion processes to find what works best. Get objective feedback as quickly and accurately as possible to correct for idealistic expectations and cognitive biases. Observe your customers in action, buying and using your products to discover opportunities for improvement. What are the most important metrics in your business that you could start tracking on a run chart daily? What is the fastest, cheapest, low-risk test you could implement to try out a new idea or opportunity that you are considering? How could you observe your customers in action yourself to discover opportunities for improvement?